there, wildling. Welcome to the Tea and Tombstones podcast. Here, we discuss topics in relation to the wild spirit, and we are rewriting the themes of wellness to include the spectrum of hallowed ground we claim within ourselves and the haunted ground we conquer with reverence and honor. My name is Ashley, the creator and wolf child of Tea and Tombstones. With tarot cards in my hands and a howl in my throat, I welcome you here. Hello there, my dear wildling. I hope you are well today, and happy May, happy late Beltane if you celebrated at all. I sat outside with my outdoor fire pit and just enjoyed some good music, good drink, and it was beautiful, it was perfect, and everything that I needed. Because it is the beginning of May, we are going to take this episode, as always, to talk about our monthly cards, our monthly energies, invitations, and affirmations. Before I do that, though, I just want to give a few brief announcements. The first I'm very excited about is that I have completely finished with the editing, writing, and tweaking of all of my poems for my poetry manuscript on the majors of the tarot. So now I am in the process of getting the ISBN. I am in the process of getting quotes from local printers so I can start this self-publishing journey and make it into a physical copy that you can purchase. And I really hope that you do. This is a dream come true, and I just want to share my love of both poetry and tarot with as many people as I can. So if you want to stay up to date on the final few steps of this process and of this journey, then follow me on social media, specifically Instagram, because that is where I have been posting updates as to when the poetry manuscript, the Major Arcana, a poetry collection, will be physical. It will be ready for purchase, and you can get that if you wish. So just wanted to mention that. I also want to mention that for May, the tarot spreads that I'm highlighting are all in relation to my goals and gains. This is a great time to really start putting goals into actions and taking the steps necessary to get these goals going, especially after I have been working through the goal of publishing this poetry manuscript and getting that out into the world. I wanted to take May to really highlight my goals and gains spread options. I have three, so you can choose the one that fits your needs. And if you think that this is a tarot spread that you would like, I will have the store linked in the show notes so you can go and check that out. But yeah, because my goal is really starting to come to completion, I just really wanted to focus my tarot spreads that focus and highlight on talking about goals, setting goals, and working through goals to completion. And if I can help you in any way with that, I hope that you will take advantage of that. So let's move on to talking about our monthly cards. Grab your tea or whatever you are sipping on, and let's get started. If you are a patron of Tea and Tombstones, you will see a continuing card. Last month, our third monthly card for patrons only was the Strength card, and now our initial monthly card for May is also Strength. And gosh, what to say about the Strength card? It can feel easy to take this card and the invitations and the energies and just relate that to being strong. That's the name of the card, right? It almost could feel obvious or apparent or immediately understandable, but I feel that there's so much more to the Strength card that often doesn't get talked about, and that's what I want to do with this podcast, with all of my podcasts on the tarot, is really kind of take the card and really dissect it and really kind of break it down into the energies and into the singular atoms and pieces that put this puzzle together of each and every card. And Strength is no different. I feel that there's so much more we can discuss with Strength, and that there's so much more that comes with the card. The first thing that I really want to share with the Strength card is not immediately related to healing. This may sound a little bit like a Debbie Downer, and I don't want to put a little rain cloud over the beautiful energies of the Strength card, but when we talk about the Strength card, the first thing that I really want to say is that it's meeting the situation honestly, with a sense of realness, with a sense of rawness, and to understand that in order to find our strength, we have to figure out where we are needing strength. We can't cultivate the beautiful energies of this card if we don't also call out, point out, name, and create a narrative around where we're lacking in strength or where we need those energies to come in. So the first thing with the strength card is that we need to just sit and be honest with ourselves. We need to sit and be honest with where we're carrying wounds, where we're carrying grief, where we're carrying a heavy heart, a heavy body in the form of just what we're dealing with. Because of that, the strength card is one that when it comes forward, it's a beautiful card. I'm not dismissing that at all. But when the strength card comes forward, maybe a little bit similar to like some of the quote-unquote more negative cards like the Tower or the Ten of Swords, that's an energy that I often feel with the strength card when it comes forward. Again, all of these cards are of benefit. They have gifts to give us. But like those cards, the strength card really kind of comes in and calls on us to really sit with the energies that we're holding, that we're carrying, that we're dealing with, that we're wounded by, and to start to get honest with that. Because if we're not willing to do that, then we're not going to be able to see where we need to call in our strength, where we need to tap into our strength. And then what that strength looks like is a complete, beautiful, but very vast and expansive spectrum. Taken from the guidebook, and this is the Ostara Tarot. I will have that linked also in the show notes. Strength is a card of determination and a call to compassionate fortitude. Emotion can be a weakness, but in this case, it can also be a power. Utilize the energy your heart has given you to conquer fear and control your path. Now, that's a very lovely narrative, and I'm not even saying that that's not correct. But I think that with the strength card, we need to almost kind of take two steps back before we can take a step forward with the strength card. What I mean by that is this. Going back to what I was saying about being raw, about being honest, about being real, we need to kind of sit with that so we can see where we need to call in our fortitude, where we need to call in that spectrum of either softness or fury. And that's what we often see with the strength card. In the traditional Rider-Waite, we see a woman prying open the jaws of the lion. And so we have this theme here of softness and fury together in almost this beautiful sense of harmony and understanding and trust in one another. Again, beautiful energies and completely spot on. But in order to really kind of create that harmony and to see where we either need to move into that softer energy or into that more furious energy, or we could take this and expand it to the higher self or the more feral self, in order to see where we need to rewrite the scales, if you will, and what we need in a specific situation and what this specific situation calls for, that's where we need that honesty and that realness and that willingness to be raw before we start to channel those narratives of fortitude, control, power. And those are the things that will help us to find the healing that we need, if that is what we need in a situation, or if it is just something that is beyond healing, that is just something that we now have to carry. We have the control, the power, and the fortitude to do so and to still keep our heart open. And speaking of an open heart, I cannot talk about this without referencing the beautiful card image of strength within the Ostara Tarot deck, which I will have on my Instagram so you can see it. But in this image, we have this warrior woman, her dragon, her familiar is kind of wrapped around her, protecting her. She has two cities on each shoulder, one city on each shoulder, I should say. One has the moon above it, one has the sun, and then in her hand, she is actually holding her heart. It's actually like out in front of her. So there's an immediate invitation there that our heart is almost kind of preceding us, that our heart is in the situation perhaps sometimes before our minds or our bodies are. And it's creating this sense of understanding, or the heart is creating this connection before we're maybe even immediately aware of it. And I love that, because wild spirits and strong spirits don't put their heart away and only use muscle. They don't overly connect to the heart to the point that they can't go any further because of all of the individual and collective wounds that there are in this world. The strong spirit, the wild spirit, is going to be the one that is guided by the heart, because the heart space is where that truth and that intuition can really start to cultivate that power, that control, that fortitude, and that harmony of understanding between our higher self and our more feral self. And we need that in order to meet each and every situation. So when the strength card comes forward, I would immediately invite you, and I invite you for May, to really just connect to your heart. Connect to that space that beats and keeps you going. It's thriving, and the heart is the part of you that reacts to fear. It's the part that reacts to joy and love and touch and play. It's such an amazing organ, and it's a muscle. And we can't talk about strength and not think of, you know, strong muscles. And the most important muscle that we have is the heart. So connecting to the heart and seeing what is really being held in the heart, and how can we tend to that if we need to tend to that with that softness and that nurturing, and where do we need to fight for the truth that our heart is holding? Where do we need to be a warrior for that truth? And to know that being a warrior is not just about immediately going out and being aggressive or scary big, scary strong. There are times where we do need to bare our teeth. There are times where we do need to be the dragon and bring that fire out of our belly and out into the world to burn something, cleanse something, remove something. But the heart knows when we start to really work with the strength from the space of honesty and rawness and realness. The heart will know when we need to lean more into softness or more into fury. The other thing that the heart will know is how we are cycling through and flowing through those energies into and out of each other, that they're not existing in a vacuum for us, that we are moving in and out of that softness and fury. That's why I love that in this image, instead of showing the infinity symbol that we often see with the strength card or the lemniscate, which I just struggled to say that word, I do not know why, but instead of seeing the infinity symbol, within this image we see the moon and the sun. So again, there's this theme here, or this invitation of recognizing through our honesty where we are cycling into the softness, maybe more of that water energy with the heart and with the moon, and then we're moving more into that space of fire, of fury, of being an external force with the sun. So with the strength card, there is an invitation always to really check in. And that's why I say that before we just talk about power, control, fortitude, conviction, will, and before we start talking about those themes, we need to kind of come back in and be honest, because we see how we are being invited to really consider, where am I on this spectrum of the moon and the sun, of this softness, this fury, of this higher self, or this more feral part of myself? And none of those are bad. None of those are wrong. There is invitations to maybe sometimes lean more into one area as opposed to another, but neither of those are wrong. It's just really starting to focus on connecting to the heart and seeing where we are at on that spectrum, on that cycle into and out of each other. And then if we need to readjust, realign, or make tough choices, do tough actions, create things within ourselves to flip that script to where we need to be on that flowing cycle into and out of each other, then that's where we start to really take the most beautiful energies of the strength card. When we take that space of seeing where we are needing to be strong and where on that cycle we are, and if we're in alignment or if we're not in alignment, how can we move ourselves into alignment? That is where the real invitation and power of the Strength card comes in is the ability to adjust, to realign ourselves, to connect back to the heart, to connect back to truth, and then to use that readjustment, to use that shift, or to see how we are completely in alignment, and then use that to move into our lives, into our actions, into our situations and relationships and the words we choose and the way that we portray ourselves and the way that we live in this world. The Strength card comes in and says, are we in alignment with what our heart is carrying, what our heart needs to carry? Are we in alignment with those things? Is there that balance and harmony between these flowing energies of softness and fury? Is there a sense of understanding and trust that if we're not in alignment, we can move ourselves, shift ourselves, and empower ourselves, and empower ourselves wildly through that shifting, that realigning, in order to be more in understanding, more in trust, more in fluid connection between ourselves, our external world, between what we want and how we need to get it, between all of these polarities in life? The Strength card is not just merely about using control, finding your fortitude, and acting. It's about being incredibly intimate. And that's one of the things with the Strength card that I love so much. But again, like going back to how in some ways I sometimes have this emotional or unconscious connection with the Strength card to things like the Tower, the Nine, the Ten of Swords. Some of these cards, when they come up and they start to create this narrative within us, and if we really sit with them, that is where real intimacy happens. And it may not feel intimate, it may not feel good. Again, oftentimes with the Strength card, at least in my own experiences, when it has come forward for me, that is where I'm being not necessarily called out, because I'm being called in, but I'm being shown, or I'm being asked to investigate and discover where I need to be stronger, where I need to use my strength in a way that maybe will feel like a challenge or will feel like I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. But that is where real intimacy happens. And that is how the heart, the mind, the body, and the spirit learn to use strength again and again, because in these situations, even if it comes up for us in a reading, or if we just call it in and we're just needing that energy, by creating a sense of understanding and trust through an experience, whether it was the most beautiful experience or whether it was incredibly hard, challenging, hurtful, wounding, whatever it was, when we take that situation and we lean into it, learn from it, and allow that learning to be a fingerprint on our wisdom, to be a fingerprint on our experiential growth and on our spiritual evolution, that is where the Strength card really starts to create that flow, and it starts to really open us beautifully. We don't grow, we don't evolve if we're not willing to learn, if we're not willing to be wrong, if we're not willing to sit with the fury, if we're not willing to see how our situation has maybe shifted us out of alignment, or where we need to bare our teeth and we didn't, or we did when we should have been more soft and more sweet. These are all the things that the Strength card calls in for us. It is literally coming forward and saying, what is there to gain in the form of knowledge? And how do we learn from this experience? By being honest. And when we are honest with that, when we're intimate with ourselves and with that truth, and then we use that honesty and that understanding and that connection to shift us into alignment and to shift us back into a place of being centered, of being in connection, I mean, that is where I think the real strength of strength kind of comes in, not to like have a pun in there, but that is where I really feel that the Strength card invites us to really grow. Because as we go through situations and then we use the strength card to come back in and then readjust, realign, connect to our truth, be guided by the heart, and then do different things, create different scenarios, act in different ways. That is where that learning creates a little fingerprint on our wisdom. And then we start to see it how there is this vast tapestry of learned experience and wisdom that we can tap into to help us realign, to help us shift back in, to help us reconnect back into what our truth is, and to also see it how our truths have changed. This is another thing with being honest and with the strength card that I think needs to be, to really kind of come into the narrative, so to speak, is like, how are we the same and how are we different? And that may be some of the most profound shifts and realignments or out of alignments that we have to make if we're doing something that is not helpful for our evolution, is not allowing us to grow, and we have to shift ourselves out of alignment with that. That is so, so hard, because we often start to layer our personas and layer ourselves with things that may be helpful at some time, may be helpful in moments, but the problem can come in when we start to just really keep carrying things in our heart and in our bodies that is not helping. Another thing in connection to this with the strength card, and I mentioned this before, that it doesn't always mean healing, and that's where there's this intimacy that needs to kind of come in with the strength card, is that to tap into this energy of realignment, to shift, to be in connection, to be in this fluid cycle between softness and fury, that doesn't always mean healed. And sometimes we just have to call it out and name that. Then that is strength in and of itself to say, I will never be fully healed from this. There are so many things in my life that I've moved on from them. I have found forgiveness for myself, for others, if it was needed. I have grown out of. And yet, when something triggers that memory or something happens that recalls this back into me, that wound is still there. It is still there. And sometimes when I start to think on it, to sit with it, to talk about it even, I start to see it how I'm still hurt. There are wounds that we all carry that will never fully be healed. And that is raw honesty there. I mean, I can't sugarcoat that. I really can't. There are wounds that we will carry our whole life. And these may be incredibly horrible traumas that we have faced. These may be very insignificant things that may not have seemed to be such a trauma, and if we were to, or to be such a wounding, and if we were to tell it to someone else, they may not see or understand why it has made such a dark mark on us. And it's not for us to explain or to justify. And that's another part of truth, is that our truth and our strength in that truth and our honesty in that truth and the intimacy that we hold in that does not need to be explained. It does not need to be understood by others. If it is something that we need professional help with, or we need to work through in a more professional or healing-based setting, obviously advocate for that and, you know where we need to bring that in and call that in if that's a need. But the point that I'm trying to get at here is that there are wounds that we carry that other people would say, oh, well, that happened so long ago, move on from it. And we don't have to justify that. There are things that have hurt us that when we think about it, still hurt. And we don't have to have someone understand that to have it be validated. It is completely in accordance with your truth, and that is enough. What I love about the strength card, and yet what I find so incredibly raw about it, if we're going with that word, is that every time the strength card comes forward, I kind of immediately almost feel this resistance. It's like a, not a bad defense mechanism, but I'm kind of like preparing myself in some way, like, okay, like this is here. And I don't get that with some of the other cards, and that's because when the strength card comes forward, I find that I have to really call in more of that softness and that nurturing, because I know that I'm going to sit in places of myself that I don't want to be, or I'm going to have to make alignments or do certain things or behave in certain ways that may feel very hard. And so I need to call in that self-care or that nurturing and that softness and that building of gentle love into resilience so that I can do that. And over time, I have totally learned to love the strength card whenever it comes forward. I think this is such a beautiful card, and I have devoted so many notes and like little things about myself to really kind of build this narrative that I'm speaking now. But every time it comes forward, I'm almost kind of like, okay, you'll see in the image that she has like these, you know, she has her armor on, she has her shoulder pads, she's carrying these cities, and there's the sun and the moon and the dragon, and I'm in this space now, and I need to almost kind of like build myself up, puff myself up, and kind of get ready for that, so that I can learn from this, grow from this, because that's what I'm always trying to do. And that's what I want all of us to do. I want all of us to use each situation to grow into more beautiful butterflies and to emerge from those chrysalises with a more beautiful understanding of what it means to transform. And sometimes that transformation comes through a trial by fire, a trial of trust, and a trial of understanding and connection. Sometimes we need to be more in the moon, more in that softness, mystical, watery energy, and other times we need to be more in that sun energy, more in that external force, baring those teeth, having that fire come out of our dragon bellies, if you will. And there are times where both are needed. And so when I say that I almost kind of need to like puff myself up or kind of bolster myself, it's more just that I know that I'm going to be pulling on very deep, intimate energies within me in relation to the invitations of this card. And if anything, I will say that for the rest of May, I invite you, and Strength invites you, to really start to first get honest, raw, and real with yourself. If you are sitting with something, and it could even be the most beautiful something, it doesn't have to be something hard that we have to process or work through or find forgiveness for. I know that I even had to really call in the Strength card when I was working through some of the last things with Major Arcana Poetry Collection, with the book that I'm writing, because there was this needing to kind of tap into my strength and kind of work through the process and trust that my dreams are worth coming true. And there is also a fear of them coming true. It almost sounds contradictory to fear success or to fear your dreams coming true. And I was totally feeling that when I was really kind of working through these last things with the edits and just little things that you have to do in order to complete a goal. I was like, wow, like what if this takes off? Like what if my dreams do come true? Like what next? And so it doesn't have to be something hard that you're sitting down to process when strength comes forward. But really, it's more about calling in whatever you're sitting with and seeing how there is a vast array of deep energies that are of the softness and the fury, the sun and the moon. And my invitation with that is to, like I said, get honest, raw, and real about that, whatever it is for you, to sit with it. And to connect to your heart through that, and to really connect to your heart in a way that says, I got you and you got me. Again, like if you're the softness and I'm the fury, or if you're the fury and I'm the softness right now, we got each other. And to start to really build that connection of understanding and that connection of trust, that through sitting with this and getting honest about this, that those energies of strength have already started to take hold. That we're already kind of starting to say, we're learning from this, we're growing from this, we're tapping into this. Because again, strong spirits and wild spirits do not shy away from that. They lean into that. And it's not easy. They're, you know, I'm not saying that if you've ever struggled, you're not strong. You're incredibly strong. There are things in my life that I still have not even attempted to sit with, good and bad, because I'm just like, now's not the time. not right now. And so it's not all or nothing. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. So sit in that honest, raw space. Sit with it. Get real with it. Connect to your heart. Tell it you got it. And know that it has you. And then use that to really start to see where the learning is coming in. And to name that as a victory. To name that as part of your power, as part of your control, as part of your fortitude, to use the strength card to evolve with it and from it, because we will continuously need to come back in to create that nurturing and then to also kind of rebuild our stamina, to build that strength up, to bolster those muscles so that we can go through into the next phase and that truth will change. And that connects so beautifully to the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit card for this month, which is the raccoon. One thing that I really love about the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck and the way that Kim Kranz set it up is that all of the animals are based in their certain elements, and there's no numerological association, so there's no one or two in relation to each card. But she mentions in the guidebook that she placed each animal in the particular order that she did to create a level of consciousness rising, or a level of awareness being deepened, expanded, and broadened as we move from the beginning of a certain suit to the end of the card in that suit. So for instance, in the suit of air, the very first card is the moth. And then the last card, card number 14, or the 14th card, is the eagle. So you can kind of see it how there's a different level of consciousness and a different level of broadening when each card in particular comes forward. I mention this because the raccoon, again, while not having a specific numerological association, is placed as card number 5 in the Earth suit. And the Earth suit from this deck relates to how we embody ourselves in our physical world. When we look to things like creation, in the physical form of creation, through artistry or any sort of endeavor, and compare that with other things of how we embody our lives and embody ourselves in the physical world, such as habits and our relationship and connection to things that move and alter us physically, things like fear and dreams, we see that the raccoon comes in as the 5th card in the earth suit, or the earth element. One of the things that I have created, and one of the things that I always want to kind of make reference to, even if there is no numerological association, the 5s really speak to a great level of transformation. I actually have a whole podcast episode on the 5s, and in the show notes for that episode, you will find a downloadable link that will come to your inbox. And it is a free handout, a free offering that I have created. It's like over 20 pages that's completely free, because I wanted to really do the 5s justice. And when we look at working with the raccoon, we see a lot of the 5's energy coming into play with that. There's a lot of edge that comes in with the raccoon, as with all of the other animals that are placed as the 5th card in their respective elements or respective suits. So there's this transformative edge that asks us to meet into the energies of this card, this animal's energy and invitations, and to become aware that as we move through this, we are going to be transformed in some way. And there's going to be an awareness that comes in that we will no longer be able to go back to before we had this reclamation, this meeting of this edge. And I just mentioned that because with the raccoon, there can be a polarization, or there can be, as always, as the way I teach, there's a spectrum that needs to be honored in working with this card. So I just wanted to mention that first and foremost, because I think it's really important to share that in relation to working with the raccoon's energies. One of the main energies that comes forward in working with the raccoon and for this month is tapping into the sense or into the relationship between feeling and understanding. Raccoons are very tactile creatures, and in fact, most of their sensory awareness comes from feeling through their hands. And because of that, they're able to learn and become very agile and skilled and tenacious in many things because they're able to feel with their hands and then create an emotional or mental relationship to that and then use that information as a way to problem solve, as a way to sustain themselves, as a way to provide what they need in their lives in order to survive and thrive. So in working with the raccoon, one of the first invitations is really kind of creating this sense of connection and understanding between what we feel, both physically and going back to this conversation all about heart connection from strength, tapping into both physical feeling and emotional feeling, and how does that deepen and broaden our understanding or our awareness of where we need to be honest with ourselves or where we need to create a level of connection back to ourselves in order to move forward from this place, this situation, with that understanding deepened. One of the other things about the raccoon, obviously, is the iconic mask-like shape that they have on their mask-like marking that they have on their face. And from the guidebook, it says that raccoon energy is at play within all artists to a greater or lesser degree. At best, it indicates talent, tenacity, and skillfulness with a particular musical instrument or creative tool. Its shadow side points to an unresolved issue around self-image and success. Sometimes using a stage name or wearing a quote-unquote mask works in an artist's favors. Other times it limits creativity. Am I who my audience thinks I am? What if I am ready to grow into something more? Raccoon energy won't let us off the hook until this creative ego fear is resolved. And I would take this even a little bit further. I don't think that you have to be any sort of artist, so to speak, in order to tap into this energy. I find that maybe to be just a little bit limiting. I understand the narrative that Kim Kranz is placing on that, and Kim Kranz is an amazing artist and an amazing storyteller and creator in her own right. But I think that at least what I take from this card and from the references from the guidebook is that it's all about creating a sense of felt connection through what we are physically doing, what we are physically able to perceive, whether that's through our hands, through our sight, our senses, smell, anything like that. I mentioned touch and tactile senses just because with the raccoon, that's the main way that they gain a sense of understanding in their surroundings. And I bring all this up because I think that it's important to consider when we are talking about creating an awareness and deepening into that connection of feeling both physically and emotionally, and how that allows us to be honest and how that allows us to kind of sit in this place of honesty and rawness and realness. I bring that up because with the raccoon, again, having this edge of the fives, this transformative energy, but also as the guidebook referenced, maybe a little bit more shadowy energy. They are nocturnal, so there's an element of being internal, being in the dark, being unseen in some way, but still very, very felt, very alive. I think it's important to use this card and the energies of the raccoon to really create intentional and mindful connections in very mundane things. So it could be washing the dishes. For me, lately, it has been building outside. I'm working to build a little enclosed garden area because I have deer where I live. I have chipmunks and squirrels. So I've been kind of having to build like a Fort Knox situation for my garden so that it doesn't just get destroyed from all the animals. And one of the things that I was just thinking about the other day when we were building this frame and screwing everything and measuring is I was just kind of thinking how I really enjoy this process. I have never really worked in any sort of with like tools like that, drills or anything like that. And I was just so in love with the process of seeing things come together in a crude way from my envisioning, from what I had in my head to physically screwing in the nails, like measuring the line of where to cut. And that made me more grateful for the fact that this is what it takes to grow food. I don't have to grow food. I could just go down to the grocery store, but it's very important for me, and it's becoming a very deep part of my truth that I want to create levels of self-sufficiency where I can. I want to create levels of tending and being a steward with the earth where I can. And also, I think that if we were just more in control of some of our food, that is a huge revolution and a little fuck you to the man, if I can say that, you know. I was just kind of thinking that that is definitely some raccoon energy. And then in that same space, I would move into a very internal place where I was thinking about my book, thinking about the coaching program that's I'm gonna work on next, and I have all this time now, and I just kind of realized it how when I'm in this space of allowing my hands and my body to do something and I'm creating an emotional connection to that, it really opens up the well, so to speak, of what's in my heart. I didn't know that some of these emotions I was carrying or some of these things I wasn't consciously thinking about, and having the time to build this huge frame and do the screwing, the measuring, the cutting, all that stuff, I started to really feel my heart being opened. And that's totally raccoon energy. I bring that up because when we create a sense of mindful connection to what we're doing, and then we allow that connection to just deepen wherever it wants to go, we start to see at how much truth wants to come up and sit with us. Intentional connection to our bodies and to how we are in the act of using both the emotional and the physical body to create a sense of understanding. The heart just is like, oh, you're opening this door. I am here for this. And so that's one of the very first invitations that I have for you in working with these energies is, where can you create both physical and emotional connections and allow that connection to create a deeper level of understanding with yourself? And it could be, again, very, very simple things. Things like washing the dishes when you're in the shower. If you're doing something maybe like coloring or sewing or any sort of thing that maybe has a little bit of like a repetition to it. But it doesn't even have to be that. If you just physically place your awareness and your connection between your physical body and your emotional body as intentional in whatever you're doing, I will bet dollars to donuts that you will start to have something come up for you. And that something is going to allow the strength card and that edge with the raccoon to really deepen you into yourself. It may feel uncomfortable, and it may also just be like, wow, I did not know I was holding all of this, and where did this come from? And yet when we start to do that more often, that is where that transformation comes in. That's where both the strength and the raccoon start to show us at how we can use this to create a fingerprint of understanding that becomes a handprint on our heart of wisdom. One thing that we cannot avoid when talking about the raccoon and the energies that come with that is in the connection to the mask, to the coloring that they have on their face that looks very mask-like. And that is what was also mentioned in the guidebook, is where are we placing needed facades or needed levels of protection with a metaphorical mask, and where are we placing them in a way that could be hurting us or could be hindering us from being in connection to truth? Now, we all have a varied level of personas. We're not going to always be in the same energy at every situation with every person. It's just not going to happen. Where there's a level of adaptability that comes in when we move into and out of certain situations and moments in our life, and that's needed. And sometimes the ability to almost create a fantastical or a fictitious part of ourselves is needed. If we are an artist, that can be a safe way for us to provide an outlet for what's going on internally. But there are also times where we can see that this becomes maybe a coping mechanism or a level of dealing with something when we need to be honest and raw, and we're using that as a layer of protection, but it's also creating a level of division with that connection and that understanding through being vulnerable and through being honest. So one of the other invitations that I would say for this month is to really start to see what personas or layers of masks that you have placed on and where they are helping you and where they are hurting you. And to be honest and real about that and lean into strength in order to grow from that and to readjust and realign back into the self. This is a big goal, at least for me, because one of the things that I have constantly tried over the course of my journey with Tea and Tombstones is I've always almost had this level of like perfection that I haven't put things out on social media. I haven't created certain things because I didn't feel I was ready, that I didn't feel that it was gonna be as perfect as it was in my mind. And this is where I also mentioned making the garden structure for my garden, because it's not perfect. And yet it is, I'm so in love with it. And that was something else too that I was connecting to in the process of making it, was I'm totally okay with this not being perfect and polished and just unimaginably beautifully perfect. So why do I place that in other parts of my life? And the reason for that is because I thought that I had to appear to be perfect, quote unquote, in order to be seen as an authority, in order to be seen as someone that could be trusted to sit in a reading with you. And over time, what I've realized is that that mask was actually preventing me from being vulnerable with my audience, from being vulnerable with what I put out, and creating that real felt connection that would maybe open someone else's connection of understanding to be more human and more honest with me. And it could also be in very, very positive things. There are times where we place those masks on and we have those layers because it allows us to play and to have fun, and it allows us to take a relief and take a breath from the normal stuff that's happening in this very crazy, shitty world right now. The invitation there is to see where those levels of persona or those masks are needed, and where there may be a mask that you need to put on that you haven't, and to do so through the act of strength and readjusting, or where you have one on, and again, it's not helping, it's not serving, it's just creating a weight that your heart and your body is carrying within it. I can only speculate, but I think that Kim Kranz placed the raccoon as the five is because when we start to really kind of see into the levels of the metaphorical and energetic masks that we have on, and again, we're in the earth element, so we're in the element of embodying ourselves in our daily lives and using that to create what is within our heart, within our spirits, and within our mind to come into the external world. And again, there's this connection to habits, routines, behaviors, fears, and dreams, and love, and these things that really move us physically, good or bad. I think the reason that Kim Kranz placed the raccoon as the five is when we start to connect to those energetic masks and we start to see where we are, where we have placed masks that are helping or hindering us in some way, we have to have that felt connection. We have to have that edge and that wisdom grow and transform us in order to move through that process of removing a mask that has now become, it's almost like become part of our identity, or knowing that we need to place a mask on and now carry that with us. It takes a lot of internal dialogue and internal, it takes a lot of internal connection and creating that tactile understanding between body and heart in order to do that. So yeah, I would say that that is one of the other invitations in working with the raccoon, is just really starting to see where there are masks that maybe shouldn't be there, there aren't masks that should be there, and then there are masks that need to be there, and they're perfect and they're right. And it's beautiful to sit in that space and know that this is something that is helping and it's here and it's supporting us in this moment. And the final invitation that I have with the raccoon leads us right into the affirmation. And the affirmation for this month, always the title of the episode, is "My truth is my strength." So the invitation in working with the raccoon in connection to the affirmation is this: as you start to look behind the masks or start to work with these energetic masks in a new way, and you start to use and rely on strength to be that space holder for you, to be honest and real about that, and then use that to align yourself, readjust yourself, there's an invitation there to simply try new things and to try new things from the perspective of seeing, almost from the level of self-discovery, of what's going to happen if I take off this mask, or if I place this mask on, or what is going to happen if after I sit in this space and I'm honest with myself and I feel my heart opening and I'm creating this little bit of connection and trust, that there is harmony in this, into and out of that softness, that fury, those parts of myself that feel disjointed at times, but in reality, they're so completely connected. Where is there to grow from that? What can I do that's new? How can I get curious with myself and use that curiosity as a way to engage with that level of, to engage with that level of truth? What does it mean if I start to try to do something new? If I start to try something that feels outside of my comfort zone, or I readjust myself back to something that I used to do and I took off that mask and I want to see what happens when I place it on again. Like, what, when, where, and how can you create something new or do something new that could help that that truth open up, could help that realigning, that shift, and then use that as a form of strength going forward? Because again, with strength, it's all about learned experience, and we don't learn if we don't try. We don't learn if we're not willing to test the water, so to speak, and to be wrong, or to have to come back to the beginning in some way. And yet when the raccoon comes forward and says that we have to sit at this edge and then do something, again, very fives energy, all of the fives confront us with this edge, whatever it is, and then says, you can go forward, you can go back. This edge will be here when you're ready, if you're not ready to go forward now, but you cannot go through this edge without being transformed in some way. And some people see that and they're just like, no, I'm good. I don't need to do that. But what that does is it creates a level of stagnation. It creates a level of almost being divided from the self, for keeping certain parts of the self secret because they don't want to go through that transformation that is ultimately going to shine more of a light on that truth. So for May, and in working with the affirmation, whenever you feel like you're trying something new or something just feels out of alignment, repeat the mantra and just say, my truth is my strength. And knowing that your truth is ever evolving, it's supposed to evolve. That's the whole point of every single five in the tarot deck, is that We're supposed to evolve. Our truth is meant to grow with us, and we're meant to wildly reclaim that evolution within the self in order to be very wild, in order to be very strong. And it's the same thing here, that we need that energy of the raccoon to come in and ask of us new things. And again, it doesn't have to be some artistic endeavor. It could be that. But what is something new that you could do in order to see what happens, how you learn from that, how you grow through that, and how you evolve from it? And then whether it works or it doesn't, you're more in alignment with your truth. Because if it does work, your truth is your strength. If it doesn't work and it's not for you, your truth is your strength. So that is everything I have for this episode. But yeah, this is, like I said, with the strength card, it almost feels kind of straightforward, but in reality, there is so much underneath the tip of that iceberg. So use the gentle nurturing, the sweetness that comes with the strength in order to meet those moments where you have to go deep into those energies that are very raccoon, very in the dark, very alive and felt but not seen. And then again, your truth is your strength. My truth is my strength, and I bow to both. I would like to thank my Wraith's patrons, Lisa Zimmerman, Bobby McDermott, Deb Guy, and Zach Tate. Thank you, as always, for your continued support in Tea and Tombstones. It makes my heart full. And that is everything that I have, so until next time, dear wildling, keep howling, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening and for letting me into your day. If you liked this podcast and you enjoy the content of Tea and Tombstones, please like the show, rate it on iTunes, continue to listen to past and future episodes, and share with someone who would enjoy these fierce discussions. These are the best ways to show your support, and it is greatly appreciated. If you would like to work with me in services of tarot guidance and spiritual allyship, please click the link in the show notes to be directed to my store and services page. Consider becoming a patron so you get an extra card every month, resources for the affirmation, and physical products that coincide with that third monthly card. Finally, come find me and say hi on Instagram. Keep howling, my wild one.